Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our texts for today's sermon are from 2 Chronicles, chapters 14, 1 through 7, and chapters 16, 1 through 13. I won't read all of it to you, but I do want to start with this part. Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land had rest for 10 years. And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And 2 Chronicles 16, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might permit no one to go out or come in to King Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, "There is a covenant between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I am sending to you silver and gold. Go break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me." That's kind of the setting of our text. Now, on Ash Wednesday, when there was lovely snow and we couldn't have services, and I hope you've had opportunity to watch the service and hear Pastor Rafa's sermon from that day. If not, maybe we can work on getting some copies out for you to read. But on Ash Wednesday, we began our consideration of the good kings of Judah. And when I say good kings, I always want to do that. Good kings of Judah with the great King David. Tonight, we skip a few kings ahead. David's great-great-grandson, Asa. We read in the text, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. This is in stark contrast to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and the grandfather of Asa. Rehoboam did evil, for he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles 12. The kingdom was divided into Israel in the north and Judah in the south. They were at constant war. Egypt also came up against Judah. Although Jerusalem and Judah retained strength from the days of King David and King Solomon, there was no rest or peace in the land that God had given them. Abijah, Asa's father, also walked in all the sins that his father did as well, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God. 1 Kings 15. So King Asa ascended to the throne in a difficult time, but it was written, the land had rest for 10 years. Asa, at this point, understands why. We have sought the Lord, and he has given us peace on every side. 10 years of peace must have seemed like an eternity to a people who were constantly at war. I mean, think about it. If we could go 10 years without all the blathering and wars around our country, but then all the fighting amongst our people and all the violence in our communities, what would we think? Oh, what a blessing that would be. And so they have this 10 years of peace. And Asa knew that the peace didn't come by his strength of his armies or his faithfulness even to God, but that it was a gift from the Lord. Then after 10 years of peace, an army of 1 million Ethiopians coming up from down near Sheba there. They come up and Libya, and they came up to Judah. This army was twice the size of the army of Judah. I think Judah technically, according to the text as you read in chapter 15, had 520,000 soldiers. And they went up against an army of 1 million. But Asa did something. He cried out to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord for protection. He cried out to the Lord for safety. And he had victory over the Ethiopians. They went back. They didn't stay. After 35 years of ruling, Asa's faced with a new challenge. Israel, the northern kingdom, which had been docile during this whole period of time, but never friendly to Judah, was militarizing the borders. Baasha, the king of Israel, was building a fortress at Raman. Raman was a city on the border between Judah and Israel to the north. The point of this was to permit no one to go out or come in to Judah. This is Baasha would make difficult any travel between and trade to pass through Judah coming down from the north. A major source of Judah's wealth was the trade from Mesopotamia region and the Tigris and Euphrates and the Hittite regions of the north to Egypt and Africa to the south. This was a serious act of war, an early embargo, if you will. We would expect that a good king of Judah would turn to God for help in a crisis like this. Hadn't the Lord decimated an army of 1 million Ethiopians and Libyans? And instead, Asa turned to the temple, the place of God's presence. But he didn't go in this time to seek the Lord in prayer. He didn't go in to seek atonement for his sins. He didn't go in to hear the word of God and the promises of God. No, he went to raid God's house. He took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord. He looted the very temple Solomon had built on the land David bought. He robbed God's house and bribed Ben-Hadad of Syria. Syria was neutral in the ongoing Cold War, but Asa gave lavishly to him so that he would break his oath. Break his covenant with the northern kingdom. King Asa of Judah hired foreign mercenaries to distract Israel's attacking from the north, thereby forcing Israel to cease its fearless assault on the border of Judah. King Asa turned the temple's treasury into blood money, which bought the lives of his enemies. He got the results he wanted. The Syrians attacked Israel and raided the northern cities, which forced King Baasha to abandon Raman and deal with the threat from Syria. But all was not well with Judah. Unbelievably, after facing down a massive army with the Lord's protection, here the good king had plundered the house of God to buy protection from a pagan king. When Hananiah, the seer, came to call the king back to God, rather than repenting, like his great-great-grandfather David did, Asa threw the prophet into prison. Hananiah had revealed that God would have given him victory over Israel and Syria if only the king had asked. Last, in his latter days, Asa grew hostile to the word of God and inflicted cruelties on God's peoples. As an illustration, the culmination of his turning away from God, he suffered a debilitating disease in his feet. Scripture says, "Yet even in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but sought help from physicians." Apparently, Asa had given up the practice of seeking God and relying on him for every need of body and soul. So he died of the disease and was buried with his fathers. Remember, the kingdom of Asa was good and prosperous. It was not one of the bad times in the history of Judah. In fact, he had taken down the false altars. He had taken down most of the high places. Yet Asa couldn't provide a lasting peace. He couldn't even survive foot disease. How success, peace, and rest had corrupted the heart of this king who set out to be good. As for so many of us, success becomes a stumbling block that leads us, well, to trust in ourselves rather than in God. Still, we know that the Lord gives support to the faithful. Hananiah told Asa, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. He revealed that the Lord would have given not only Israel, but also the Syrians into the hands of Judah if they had wanted. We don't know about the foot disease, but certainly Asa could have done no better than to call on the name of the Lord in his time of trouble while he was also seeking help. For we know that the Lord hears the prayers of his faithful. God will stop at nothing to provide rest and peace for his people. Asa couldn't do it. He just couldn't. Even though the king's heart was not pure before the Lord, his body could not bear up against the ravages of his own sin. If we are to have the peace of God, we need a king to lead us into the paths of righteousness. And this king was promised David and his son as his son who would reign forever. And this king was promised to Isaiah as the Prince of Peace. The son of the line of Asa would have to come into the royal city to bring peace to his people. First, he would take our illness and bear our diseases, as Matthew records, and having shuddered and has shouldered the burdens of the bodily manifestation of sin, and after he acclaimed the Son of David on Palm Sunday with everyone shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, he would come into the temple during Holy Week. So the king of Judah went into the temple, saw the animal sellers and the money changers, but unlike Asa, who was looking for cash, Jesus came not for money. He didn't want the money of the temple treasury. Instead, he's upset the tables and poured out the coins, upset the priests and elders who relied on that money to maintain their place, came to cleanse the temple of that corrupting influence which had turned the house of God into from a house of prayer into a den of robbers. The son of Asa also sat at the treasury, not to find wealthy men to ask for donations, but to focus on the poor widow. The one without power or pretense gave more than the wealthiest givers, for she gave all. She gave her life. How differently this king viewed the treasures of the temple than his earthly forefather Asa. He could see past the money, the treasures of the temple, to the purpose of the temple, which is the forgiveness of our sins and the peace that that provides with us from God. So easily did gold and silver tempt the guardians of the temple treasury that they sought to cast out their rightful king by means of that treasure. It was surely far less than Asa had taken, but the 30 pieces of silver that they had taken to give to Judas, they used to buy the life of Jesus, the son of Asa. This payment was given to Judas to break his covenant with his Lord and to give him over to a pagan governor, Pontius Pilate. How the tables are turned. In fact, when Judas saw what honor was wrought by this betrayal, he tried to return the money. But it could not be. This blood money could never re-enter the temple. It had accomplished its unholy purpose and could never return to God. As if the rest of the filthy lucre in the temple were not already defiled by the wicked hearts of the chief priests and elders that controlled it. But indeed, God's purposes were not thwarted. the son of David, had come, and he would be the king of peace in Jerusalem. From the temple's treasury came blood money, which bought redemption. By means of silver from the house of the Lord, the king of the Judeans was hanged on the cross. The son of Asa paid the price for peace with his own blood. All the money in the temple or in all of Jerusalem couldn't buy peace. It wasn't silver or gold which was needed to redeem us. It wasn't Asa and Judah to bring peace. The peace we need isn't from hostile neighbors. The peace we need is with God, whom we've constantly put aside in our fleeting days of rest. When the peace of the world is not enough, we see that King Jesus has come to give us victory over sin and death and the devil. It is his blood that was shed to bring us peace. And this peace is not for 10 or 35 years. This peace is for all eternity, an eternal Sabbath rest for God's people. This is the peace on which we can rely. Indeed, there is nothing else in which we trust but the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the son of Asa, if you will, the Prince of Peace, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.